Sido's father's new chateau looked like a fairy tale castle, complete with towers and turrets, floating free of the formal gardens which surrounded it. The Marquis's valet came out to greet her.
"How are you, Luke?"
she asked, pleased to see a face she recognized.
Well, mademoiselle, I have been instructed to take you out the back way to your chamber. The Marquis does not wish to be disturbed."
Sido followed him through a plain wooden door into a long, dark corridor. Luke lit a candle, which shone a shy light down what seemed a never-ending passageway.
"Where are we going?" she asked.
The valet turned round with a finger to his lips. Sido followed in silence. Every now and again, cat's cradles of light shone through peepholes from one wall to the other. Luke opened a door.
"This will be your bedchamber. The Marquis will call you when he is ready."
And with that he closed the door behind him. It disappeared perfectly into the painted panels, so that if he didn't know it was there, it would be impossible to tell. This was a plain room, panelled in powder blue. The four-poster bed had thick, dark blue velvet drapes. A fabric screen stood near a dressing table, and above the fireplace hung a painting of an Italian masked ball. There were no flowers to welcome her, no bowls of fruit, no sweetmeats, though these were given to all the other guests. For her part, Sido was just grateful to be away from the convent. Hours passed, so that she was wondering if she had been forgotten when the valet reappeared.
"The Marquis wants to see you now, mademoiselle."
Sido straightened her skirt, took a deep breath, and concentrated with all her might on not limping as she was taken downstairs. The Marquis was waiting in his study. He had a large, needy, greedy face that gathered itself into a weak, undefined chin and had about it the promise of perpetual disappointment. He stared down his aristocratic nose at his daughter.
"I see, Sidonie, that you're not much changed since last we met. A little taller, maybe."
"Unfortunate. Tallness is unattractive in a girl."
The abruptness of the criticism and the use of her full name made all Sido's skills of navigation abandon her. She stepped back, narrowly avoiding a table displaying the Marquis's latest acquisition, a collection of scientific instruments.
"Look where you're going! In heaven's name, are you as stupid as you appear? And I see you still have that unpleasant limp. It seems not to have improved in the slightest," said the Marquis irritably.
Sido stood there wishing with all her heart that the floor would open and swallow her up. At that moment, Count Kaliowski was shown into the chamber. At his heels was a large black wolfhound, his famous dog, Balthazar. Sido's first impression was that she would not like to be left alone with either the man or his dog. She dropped her gaze and curtsied as she felt his sharp, inquisitive eyes upon her. Glancing up for a discreet look, she saw a tall, thin man, elegantly dressed, his skin smooth and ageless, as if it had been preserved in aspic. He had the perfume of wealth about him.
"That," said the Marquis abruptly, "is my daughter. Why I went to the expense and inconvenience of bringing her back here, I cannot imagine."
"To humour me, I do believe," said Count Kaliowski.
He sat himself in a chair and stretched his long legs out before him, placing his hands together to form a steeple in front of his mouth. They were large, ugly hands that somehow didn't seem to go with the rest of him. The dog settled near his master. Sido saw that the pattern on the Count's embroidered silk waistcoat was of little black skulls intertwined with ivy leaves.
Charming, said the Count, studying Sido with an expert eye. But is there no food at your convent?
Not much, sir, Sido replied.
The Count smiled. Tell me then, are the nuns all as pale and thin as you?
No, sir.
I thought not. And which convent is this?
When Sido told him, the Count laughed out loud.
I know the Cardinal. I have lent him money in the past to settle his gambling debts.
The Marquis looked most uncomfortable.
My dear friend, your daughter has the most bewitching blue eyes. Give it a few more years and you will find her to be ravishing.
The Marquis looked like a spoiled, overgrown child who's being asked to play nicely.
With respect, my dear Count, plain she is, and plain she will remain. I fear you've been taken in by the beauty of my study in the afternoon light.
Not in the slightest. I am just concerned to hear that your daughter has been sent to such an indifferent school. I suggest that from now on she should be educated at home.
Sido stood there, surprised to find that she had an ally in the Count. The Marquis rang for his valet.
The girl is to be bathed and the dressmaker summoned. Mademoiselle Sidonie will be dining with us this evening.
It took Sido a moment to realize what her father had just said. She wondered if, just for once, fate was smiling kindly on her.